Welcome to 2024. Dion, I did not even ask you, man. Do we got any special guests for the new year?
You know, I wasn't expecting, you know what I'm saying, to do it in such a manner, but I'm gonna contact some people. Don't you worry.
Okay. Get them right, man. Get them right for the new year, man. 2024. We want a whole new cast, man. Whole new group. You know, Jerry, trying to be busy.
He trying to be busy. He trying to be by
Jimmy Johnson and put him in the Ring of Honor now and all that kind of good stuff. So
you know, when you get to that age, you know, and you know you got more years behind you than you got in front of you, you try to right some wrongs. You'd be like, let me smooth the road over. Yeah. Let me smooth the road over, baby.
Hey man, that's what I'm saying. So he busy and you know, I know some of your pastor friends, they've been busy on the internet. We're gonna talk about them a little bit later. Your pastor friends.
Yeah.
Bishop Wanda Lee.
Ha ha! Whoa! Whoa! Woo! Ha! Boy! Oh! The spirit! Listen, Bishop One Good Leg has been in seclusion for about, you know what I'm saying, 65 days, and he is ready to come out and say what thus saith the Lord. Y'all better get ready for the bishop, because he's coming in 24, and ain't no stone gonna be unturned. Ha ha! Woo!
Man, I'm super excited about this year, y'all. 2024, you know, last year, I don't know if y'all knew this, we put over 200 episodes out on YouTube.
Wow.
Like, you know, cut up episodes. You know, we didn't do 200 because we did a lot of lives, but a lot of episodes uploaded. Definitely want to thank people, you know, for their support. Just recently we got over 100 subscribers. There you go. Yeah, we're gonna celebrate all things. You know, we want to get to 1,000. So you know, this year that's what we're pushing for. We want to get to 1,000 subscribers or more. You know, let's take this thing, continue to take this thing worldwide. Today, y'all, I was actually reminiscing. I had pulled up our old podcast from Fishbowl Radio Network, and listening to some of the shows, trying to get back in the mindset of interviews, because y'all know that's all we did back then. Like, we were interviewing everybody and their mama.
Yes, sir.
Dietrich had his mama.
Toby.
Fred Hammond.
Show me. You name it.
You know, we were doing some interviews, so I was kind of getting in the mindset of the interview that we were going to have tonight. If you were tuning in and you were expecting to hear an interview with Christina with a K, we are just rescheduling that. Most likely we're going to have that next week. We're still, you know, and working through that. But, you know, some things came up, but don't worry. Just stick with us. We got some stuff to talk about tonight that you know, I think ultimately we'll bless you and some really good conversation. And we definitely want you to be involved with it. As always, we have chat set up. So whatever platform you're listening to us on, whether it be YouTube or Facebook, you can chat with us and, you know, ask us questions. You can get with us and we'll get, you know, see if we can answer it. All I will ask is just be respectful. You know, but we're not afraid to talk about any question, anything. You know, today's topic is going to be a little, I think it was divisive, and that's kind of what I want to talk about it. It's been very divisive in the church, and it's really pointing out some things that I think we as a church probably need to have a discussion about. So definitely want to, you know, dive into some of those things. I think we lost Mr. Dynamite. He back? Okay, there you go.
Oh yeah, he back
now.
I'm sorry.
That's all good,
I had some technical difficulties.
Oh Lord.
That's how it was the first of the year.
Yeah. So how'd y'all bring in the new year, man? What's how'd y'all do it? You can't talk about it. I mean, what?
He's speechless.
Mine was pretty low key.
We watched
church online. We did some, you know, cooking. For those of y'all who don't know, last couple of months, I've been going through, man. I'm out here with a broke leg and so I can't move around like I really want, but you know.
And here we thought only we had one bishop good leg. Now we got a deacon with one good leg.
Deacon one good leg. The bishop and the deacon on the same.
We got the bishop one good leg and now deacon one good leg. What's going on?
Hey, listen, don't worry about it. You'll be with us.
Keep both my legs.
Keep on living.
Two good legs.
Keep on
my living. Nickname is Sonya Two Good Legs. Sonya Two Good Legs.
Yeah. So we nothing special for the new year? No?
Look at Dion's face. Dion, we should be scared the way he's smiling. Shell, we might need to be scared to ask him.
I know.
Man, okay. I almost died.
I'm gonna leave him alone.
You almost died.
Nah, we gotta hear that.
You just say that and just skirt past that. Like, oh, yeah. I almost died. Okay, now what's ice cream flavor you want?
Let me tell y'all something, man. I was out on the streets, you know what I'm saying, trying to help people get to their destinations. You heard me?
Come on now.
It wasn't New Year's Eve. It was the day before. People was really out here wilding. People was really out here trying to celebrate, trying to really, you know, get their last little partying out. Okay. And I pulled up to pick this lady up.
Yeah.
And they literally came and threw her in the back of my truck. And said thank you and shut the door and walked off. And I'm like, what's going on? So this lady's back there in between, you know, saying the flow in the seat, just trying to find her life.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And so she finally gets it together and pops up into the seat. And baby, that's when the drama really got started. You hear me?
Uh-oh.
Oh, goodness.
She started talking about, hey, who are you? How did I get in here?
Uh-oh.
What's going on? Where are you taking me?
Uh-oh.
So immediately I'm thinking, oh, this lady finna probably try to steal off on me, thinking I'm trying to nab her or something. You know what I'm saying? Let me, you know, just try to communicate, but keep calm. Okay?
Yeah.
I said, ma'am, I'm taking you to your destination. So, you know, that stuck for about a, you know, few seconds, and then she asked me again, where you taking me? I say, to your destination. Where? I say, listen, I told you where I was taking you, man. Don't keep, you know, don't keep doing that, you know?
Uh-oh, it's getting real.
So I said, somebody ordered, you know, this ride for you. You need to probably talk to them, you know what I'm saying? Blah, blah, blah. So she gets on the phone. They talk and they tell her, hey, you know what I'm saying? He taking you to, you know, where I said he gave her the room number, everything she needed, right?
Okay.
So she's gonna try to verify with me. I was like, I didn't order the ride, man. What did you talk about? If the man told you that's where you're going, that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So anywho.
Oh, glory.
Let me fast forward to the actual about to die part, okay?
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, let's get to that guy part, because that's the part we need to know about. That part right there.
So, out of the clear blue sky, this lady decides she's gonna reach up into the front and grab whatever she can. Mind you, she's drunk, so she's off balance. So she's reaching and begins to fall, and basically falls into me.
Uh-oh.
I'm driving on the freeway, mind you.
Oh.
I'm swerving, trying to get her off of me and keep control of the car. Cars is coming, swerving, trying not to hit me in the middle of the freeway.
Oh.
I said, ma'am, if you don't sit back and put your seatbelt on, I'm going to pull over and put you out. Period. And point blank. I said some I ain't gonna lie to you.
Oh, Lord, help us, Father.
I'm gonna keep it a thousand.
Don't get us canceled.
Some words that you can't say in church.
Don't get us canceled. Don't get us canceled.
Can't say in church. I'm gonna keep it a thousand. Mm-hmm. I said some words that you can't say, because at that point I felt my life was in danger and I was a little bit upset, combined with a little bit scared because the cars was coming, combined with a little bit like, what is going on? Like, why are you doing this?
Ooh, wee.
So I did. I said some things. And I'm not proud of that.
Help him, Father. Help him, Father.
I'm not proud of that.
Help him, Father.
It's you know, I said some things.
Mm-hmm. He human. Help him. Help me.
I wanted to make sure my point got across, though. I wanted to make sure my point got across that you need to really sit back and you really need to put that seatbelt on.
Yeah.
That's what I needed. That's what I needed her to understand. I don't care how drunk you are, what country you come from, what your natural language is. I need you to understand. Sit yourself back and put on your loving seatbelt.
Yes. Oh, glory. I like how you're saying it now. We're gonna translate that. Love your seatbelt.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Love your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that sounds like an eventful night, man.
It was, night. Man. Listen, man. You know.
You got something to shout about.
I said, ma'am, if you don't put that seatbelt on, and I mean right now. Listen,
right now.
It's over with.
Mm-hmm. Right now. Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
She put it on, or did she calm down?
Man, listen. When I said it, what I said and how I said it, it really wasn't no other choice.
Yes, I understand.
The finality was in every word. Like, I promise you, the next move, if you don't make your move, I'm gonna make my move. Is really what she got out of that.
Okay.
You know, if you don't make a move to put the seatbelt on, I'm gonna make a move to the curb to let you out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fair exchange. Yeah. Kevin, that's pretty fair. Seatbelt or curb. I suppose I am thinking that she probably chose the seatbelt instead of the curb. That sounds like a wise choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Considering we was out in you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, wisdom told me she chose that seatbelt.
She sat down and discernment, the good discernment.
Because I, you know, really how I was feeling, you know what I'm saying? She endangered me. I was going to let her out on the freeway. I wasn't going to even take the exit. I was just going to literally let her out on the side of the freeway.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad you didn't, Dion. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you didn't. You know why I'm glad you didn't?
Grace and mercy.
You wouldn't be on the show tonight, and probably the rest of the year if that had happened. See how good God been to you?
I was gonna be on the show.
You're gonna have them little lines, and they don't let them cameras go on the little lines. Show you know what the lines is.
Them little lines, I do.
Yeah, he's gonna have them little lines.
Mm-mm. Now, how
the
how
camera was, wasn't gonna be clear to record our show, Kelvin.
How I was gonna go to the Gray Bar
you
Hotel?
You would have been like, what's that dude, Shine? Oh, calling in from the.
Yeah, that's what he's gonna do.
Recording your album from the payphone.
From the payphone, no. Who's gonna go to if he's not having that freeway, it wasn't gonna be the payphone.
No, I'm talking about the jailhouse rock. I'm talking about that jailhouse payphone. That's what Sean
had. He's gonna be talking about that jailhouse rock.
He had to record his whole album from the jailhouse.
You see what I'm saying?
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, David, make it happen. Now, that does sound like you had an eventful evening. I can't even compete.
I can't either. No, sir.
Won't even try. I brought it in real nice and easy. Like, I mean, this year, I didn't even look at the... Normally, I watched the little ball go down. I didn't watch that. I was... Bishop preached way past midnight. So I was entrailed in the message, in the scripture. So,
well, I'm gonna tell you something. The actual New Year's Eve was really kind of mild in comparison.
Okay.
You know, it they had a huge rave downtown.
Mm-hmm. Rave?
Yeah.
With like neon lights and stuff?
Yeah.
What's awesome?
They say it was over I don't know if he said 3,000 or 30,000. I think it was 30,000 people there.
Okay, it might have been
that went to that thing, man. And man, listen, that surge was so high, it was crazy. I'm talking about it was crazy. Like they blocked off traffic. Police was out there real strong, and people was wearing costumes and everything like that. Man, I saw some weird looking stuff out there. I was like, it's crazy. Lord, just let me, you know, make it home unscathed.
And look what he did.
Make it home unscathed.
Look what he did.
All right. Well, you know, like I said, we're about to jump into a topic, and you know, let me preface this topic, and that's why I want to, you know, again, our comments is open. Definitely looking for some conversation about this. This is has been a very heated topic, I think, over the last couple of weeks. But with everything that has come out and I guess transpired with P. Diddy. And you know, for our listeners, you know, P. Diddy is, I guess, what, a music producer, music mogul, like Bad Boys Entertainment, associated with a, you know, a lot of, you know, secular music that you know, we've experienced over the last, you know, few decades, all the way back to Biggie. But some things have, you know, come out about him, and what I want to talk about is Bishop T.D. Jakes has been kind of tied, you know, to him and to a lot of the things that, you know, he has going on. And, you know, as a church, you know, different rumors have been, you know, hitting the internet, you know, tying Bishop to different parties and you know, what have you. Sexual exploits, you know, I don't want to get into too much detail about that because, you know, again, the rumors are out there. Google search or just pulling up your social media, you're gonna find some prophetess or prophet or internet preacher or social media influencer, you know, discussing this. But I want to talk about and present to you two, you know, how we as a church handle situations like this, because this ain't the first situation like this, and it definitely ain't going to be the last, because we're dealing with people. We're dealing with, you know, situations that are happening. We're dealing in a world where social media can blow something up immediately. All you need is a scandalous story, attach it to a big name, and voila, there's no, you got some type of viral, you know, commitment about that. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like, as a church, how we should respond compared to how we would respond if we were in the world. Like, has there been a difference to that, and why we should respond differently, or why we should handle things, you know, in a different way? This show is definitely not, you know, whether or not you agree or you disagree, you like Bishop, you don't like Bishop. Definitely don't want to get into those conversations. Everybody has their own, you know, opinion, I think, about the situation. I really want to, you know, get to a point where we're talking about what we can learn, you know, from situations like this in the church that have happened, and, you know, that I'm sure will happen, you know, moving forward. So kind of leave it at that. I will say that the information, everything that I just mentioned is alleged stuff that was based off of a rumor. A rumor started with a podcast. Supposedly some FBI information was leaked to this podcast. FBI information. The more I talk about this, it just makes me smile, because I'm like, we believe anything. We get it and run with it. But, you know, FBI information that was supposedly leaked. It's been, what, 2-3 weeks since this leakage, and nothing else, no other type of facts or anything have come out, you know, about the situation. But again, the church is in the uproar. I can tell you, I've had a lot of conversations with people online, you know, who have, you know, an opinion about it. And, you know, so I'm going to stop for a second. Definitely want to kind of hear from you and Lasagna, you know, on your thoughts about the situation. I know, Dion, you had a very crazy response in the green room.
He wasn't playing. Dion's not the one. He's not the one. He said, don't play with me.
Listen, I see you, sir. You know, making a very valiant attempt to really stay focused on the facts and take the high road and really be just a good steward over the situation.
Why are you using your Joel Osteen voice on me, right?
Yeah, he is.
But Bishop Jackson, he ain't my bishop. He ain't my bishop. I don't go to the Potter's house. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no dog in the fight. I ain't got no affiliation. But what I will say is that we're part of the same body. Okay. And, you know, just here's my thing. If this was any kind of way true, it would have definitely come out long before now. That's one thing. Two is that, you know what I'm saying? Somebody like him who's done so very much for so very many, you know, putting your mouth on him is real dangerous waters. That is like, that's like going back Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? Like
Moses.
Elijah. Moses. You know, don't do it. Don't do it.
What was the lady
the kind
who was
of
talking about Moses?
And pestilence.
His sister, Miriam.
Miriam, right?
Nah. Them little kids was trying to jeer Elijah when he was going up, talking about going up bald head, and he called two bears from the woods and he ate them boys up. Like, don't play with God's people. Like, don't do it. I don't care how many times, you know what I'm saying, you tell people that, they still want to take stuff and run with it, and it ends up bad. Like, listen, if you out there under the sound of my voice and you done heard this stuff, just leave it alone. Like, if it come out and you see like actual photos and facts or whatever the case may, then we got a conversation. But until then, please don't say nothing. Don't call your people on the phone. Girl, did you hear about Bishop James? Girl, don't do that. Don't do it. I'm telling you, it's going to end up bad for you. Keep your mouth shut.
So that's definitely one take, Dion. Lasagna, what you got to say?
Oh, I'm with, I don't get into stuff like that either. I'm going to tell you why, because I understand people are people, and I have my Bible to know people are people. Like David did a lot, you know, he killed, you know, he impregnated a woman, then had her husband killed, you know, put him on the front lines. I have Moses who killed somebody. I got Paul was Saul, serial killer. If you was a Christian, he consented to Stephen's death. So I know that people are people. So I believe that you let that be and God can work it out. And if somebody do come to him, it should be somebody of their league or in their caliber, like Nathan came to David. Hey, gave him a parable. He got mad. He needed to be killed. Thou art the man. I think it's a better way to handle it than on social media in public. I think that's never a correct way to handle anything. I think that's what I want to say. Now I want to get a proper word for it, but it's just not, it's not valuable the way it's handled. So social media, that's nowhere to discipline nobody. Social media is nowhere to talk to somebody or talk about somebody. I think that's never the thing to do. I know it sells. I know people get ratings. But I never think it's a good idea to defame or mistreat anybody. I don't care if they say, not say, they have my beliefs or don't have my beliefs. Social media is not the way to destroy somebody's character and who they are. You should talk to them. You know what I'm saying? If you have a problem with them, you talk to them. If you can't talk to them, you don't have that level of influence to talk to them. I don't think a public platform like that is where it should come out, especially if you weren't there and you really don't know. I just think social media is never the way to handle anything, especially as a body of Christ. And we all one body, like Deion said, if my finger hurt, I don't cut it off and be like, oh man, you did that. Boom, finger cut off. Then the rest of your body. I think as a body, we run to the issue. We should run to help. Like if your body get hurt, your other capillaries, blood vessels, they're going to run to that part to help it. They're not going to dog it out. Look at that dumb finger. Like your first finger ain't talking about your thumb. Look at that thumb all short. Look at that. Look what he did. Finger doing all that. So I think as a body, we don't stick together. And when I say that, it don't mean you cover my wrong. It means we can handle it better than social media. Yeah, you don't have to defame nobody in public. If you know something, even if you really did know it, it's never good to go public and defame anybody. It don't matter if they got my belief systems or not. It doesn't matter who they are or what they did. I don't think a public platform is a way to handle a situations like this. That's my personal take. If you got some, talk to him. People in his zone or whoever's around him, you can handle it in private. It doesn't have to be spread all over social media, especially when you don't have facts, or even if you did have facts, it's still not appropriate to handle that in public. Because I'll tell you this, everybody who talking, get in that field where Jesus rode on that ground, throw the first stone. So who's talking that don't have no sin?
Right. And, you know, and here's what I'd say. Both of you guys, you know, brought up some really, really, you know, good points about this. Like, you know, Deion, like you said, you know, I can go down through the things that, you know, if just using common sense, don't really, you know, calculate or don't add up. You know, he's been in ministry for close to 50 years. There's a lot that could, you know, have happened and transpired by this time, you know, with that. But even if, you know, to Sonya's point, if he did do it, like we have examples in the Bible of people who've done some very egregious things, you know, and, you know, David. I mean, he's the first person that kind of comes to mind when I think of someone who did something egregious. Not only did he sleep with some other's man's wife, he had that man killed, put on the front line, assassinated. It don't get no crazier than that. And I think about like if that happened in today's time, like how quickly, with the character of today's church, how things would have went there. And, you know, in that example, God showed us his character. Mm-hmm. He showed us how he dealt with situations like this, especially with people that he wanted to redeem. Like mm-hmm. David ushered in a whole bunch of, a kingdom, you know what I mean? From David, you got Solomon. Jesus comes from David's bloodline.
Yep.
Like, so there David had purpose and things. So even if you know, Bishop or any other person that is caught up in these type of, you know, rumors and scandals did what they did, you know, I have to challenge, you know, my brothers and sisters on how we handle the situation. You know, Galatians 6 in the New Testament really talks clearly on how we should handle things when our brother or sister falls, like, you know, going to them in private and you know, and having that conversation with them. I've heard a couple of influencers, you know, come in and surprisingly, you know, I think say the right thing. Like sometimes, and I know, you know, I think what's been irking me and we can, you know, kind of add this to the conversations, are the people who they seem like they've been waiting for Bishop T.D. Jakes to fall, you know, because they don't agree with his message or his sermons or, you know, whatever. It seems like, you know, I've even heard the comment like, I knew it. I've been waiting and I prophesied in 2004 that he was going to do da da da. And, you know, it to me, it shows a sign of immaturity in the body of Christ, you know,
they just hate. Well, haters everywhere.
Haters are immature, though. Yeah, they are immature, though. Mm-hmm. Haters, they immature. Mm-hmm. Because to me, it shows it shows more about the person talking about the situation than it would even, you know, the person that they're talking about. And what I mean by that, it shows their insecurities. It shows, you know, the things that they focus on. Some people wouldn't have a ministry if they didn't have anybody to talk about. And that's
crazy. That's the truth. That's true. And I will say, we don't take the Bible like serious. He said, when you catch a brother fault, act like it's you. Pretend it's you. He said, put yourself in their shoes. How do you want to be handled?
Mm.
That's what the word say. It said,
yeah.
Considering yourselves them, how would you want to be handled if it was mm-hmm. you? It's mm. easy for me to handle you when I don't think it's me.
Yeah,
that's how people are. That's but how people Bible are.
But the Bible gives you clear instructions. Handle it as if it was you. Would you yes. do the same talking? Would you want the same judgment? Would you want the same harshness bestowed on you that you're ready to bestow on them? Act like it was you.
Mm-hmm.
Conversation now.
And there's so many scriptures that are in line with that. You know what I mean? Judge.
Yeah.
Judge not lest you be judged. You know, it's a theme, you know, throughout the Bible. And unfortunately, it you know, and I think, you know, I heard somebody say that this is something new, you know, for the church, but the Pharisees did it.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Before the Pharisees, like it's a part of this human nature that when we become Christians or we become believers, I feel like we, and this is one point that I wanted to get to tonight. I feel like we focus so much on the outward stuff. So I don't want to fornicate anymore. And, you know, if I'm, you know, I'm not, you know, I want to drink and I don't smoke and I don't, you know, all of those different things. I remember, you know, growing up hearing testimony services and it was always about the outward stuff. But when things like this happen, it shows this inward character. It shows what a person's character is like. Like when God says, when Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, and that's to love God and then love your neighbor as you would yourself. And then you look at Corinthians and you start talking about, you know, the level of agape love that God is talking about. All of those things are character qualities that we should be aspiring to, you know, as believers. And as we aspire to those character qualities, it addresses a lot of this other stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you love people the way you should, you're not going to want to fornicate. If you love, you know, you're not going to want to rob nobody or kill nobody. You know, all of these little outward things that we so easily want to focus on, if we deal with our character, it addresses that. But unfortunately, a lot of character things can be hidden because character is what you would do if nobody was looking at you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like how you think about stuff, how you perceive life.
Yes, the truth. I'm going to tell you, I had, I don't know, I may have, what's that noise we got going right there? Okay, that's fine. I remember I was in my living room. I was just cleaning up this, and it was actually a secular singing young lady. I don't know what they were into something, but they was all over the news, had a lot of, they was on drugs, doing all kind of stuff. And so I was saying to myself, I didn't even say it. I was like, now, what kind of mess? And God said, now, wait a minute. Now, before you say anything, they're going to feel what you say, even though you're in your room, and I'm going to hold you accountable if any harm come to them by the words that come out of your mouth. So I said, oh, you know what? God bless them. Now, you go ahead and help them, because I was going to say something. What's all this mess these people? I had my whole, you know, just talking. They wasn't even necessary. They don't proclaim they saved or whatever, but he checked me immediately. And I tell you what, I didn't finish that sentence. He said, because I'm going to hold you accountable for what you said in their life, because they're going to feel it in the spirit, even though they don't see you or know you. They're going to feel it. And I'm going to hold you accountable for how they respond. If they do something to themselves or hurt themselves or do something, I tell you what, I didn't say nothing else.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think if everybody...
I said act right.
I didn't say nothing. I didn't even finish the thought.
And see, Sonya, that's because you have a relationship with God. Like, you hear His spirit. Like, there's certain things, like, even when I want to respond to a fellow Christian who's doing the exact things that we're talking about right now, I feel in my spirit there's a way for me to address and have that conversation. Now, I ain't going to lie. Sometimes, depending on what button they push, it's hard. You know, again, we all on the process. I had somebody call me a coward.
Wow.
He said he called me a coward, and he said I was defending TD Jakes, and nothing in my comment was about defending TD Jakes. It was about, again, the ineffectiveness of us being gossipers in the church, like spreading rumors, one, that we don't have facts over, and then two, you know, there's no validation for, and then three, you know, there's no redemption to it, right? And so, you know, he did a whole video on TikTok about me. He called me a coward.
What was your response when he called you a coward?
The fleshly part of me wanted to, you know, just find out, like, if he in Texas, because it's so funny, because, you know, and I'm a diverge a little bit. It's so funny how people over the internet have a lot of, I call them internet kahunas.
Right.
Like, the internet has made a lot of people brave that wouldn't otherwise be brave. You know what I mean? Not that I would put my hands on them or anything like that, but you don't know. You know, but people so freely say these things now, and, you know, expect not to have some type of, you know, repercussion for it. Yeah.
He handled it pretty good. A friend of mine,
Mike, is up here. He said he called them internet thugs are hilarious.
Listen, I would have liked to have seen your face when you read.
Dion said Show couldn't handle it. He said, "Oh, okay, what?
I know you was mad. I know you was mad.
I was mad initially, and then I went and I watched the video, and then I saw who it was. I even went through and kind of watched some of his other videos again. What God is doing, and this is how I know God is doing a work on me, right?
Right.
You go 5-10 years back, maybe." Maybe I'm handling this completely different, but you know, I'm even starting to see, you know, like I mentioned, that a lot of people who do these things, especially online, it's showing their insecurities. It's showing one, their immaturity and lack of knowledge of who God is and their relationship with God. Like if you spend any amount of time with God, like just really spending time to get to know his character. I mean, easily, you know, if you're a new Christian or a person that wants to know what I'm talking about, I would suggest just read, you know, the epistles, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at how Jesus moved. There's a show out called Chosen. I think Chosen does a really good job of, you know, kind of, you know, drawing a picture of how Jesus kind of moved in this world. Jesus didn't move any way like some of our Christian believers do in today's time. Like, no way. Like, there's no way in the world I would imagine that Jesus would be on TikTok or any other social media talking about anybody's faults. And he knows everybody's faults. That's the thing. Like, if anybody's going to have content for days, it would be Jesus.
Yes, sir.
But he wouldn't do that. However, we have so many Christians that feel like it's their responsibility to do that. And where does the healing come from that? I guess that's the question I would ask. Why do you think that blasting someone online or sharing, you know, the latest gossip about your fellow Christian brothers and sisters, where do you think there's going to be any type of help for them? And let's say it's a situation, you know, I think back to Eddie Long, you know, Eddie Long, again, a real impactful preacher. It was the first time that I kind of understood the difference between someone's anointing and the fact that they're a man or they have their still struggles. Like, do we realize that being a pastor, people are anointed to be that?
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're a singer, you're anointed to sing that, you know, to sing. Like, we're anointed to do the things that we operate in our gifts. That does not mean that we're all arrived. Like, we're all good. Like, I'm pretty sure Bishop T.D. Jakes has some type of faults. I'm sure. Matter of fact, one of the things I like about him is he's openly at times has openly shared some of his faults, you know, mm-hmm. with the church. And when he thought certain ways that, you know, may not been believer like or whatever. But I appreciate people who are like that, because mm-hmm. that transparency allows me to think about life and do things differently. You know, and understand that, you know, we all got something that we kind of pushing through here, you know. So it's I think it's imperative for us to really, you know, ask ourselves a question before we start posting or talking about anything. Like, mm-hmm. how is this going to help the body of Christ?
There you go.
How's it going to help us grow? How, you know, are people going to be redeemed or saved by it? If there's victims involved, how they're going to be healed with it? We don't even think about the people who are connected to the people we're talking about. Yeah. The family members, the kids, the grandkids, the whatever. Like, it's really sad. Like, as Christians, as believers, I feel like our heart should be different for people in general.
Yeah.
The world, when we're in the world, I didn't even think about people like that. You know what I mean? But in the church, if you're connected and you touched the hem of Jesus' garment, if you've been close to him, you had some conversations, man, I think you would see things differently.
I think so, too. I think we would live different if we spent more time with God, like seriously, one-on-one, because he changed the way you think. He changed the way you feel. He changes you from the inside out, not the outside in. Because mm-hmm. you see what people do, but you don't know why they do it. So we'll judge your what, but we don't know your why. Mm. That's the problem. Only God can see the heart. So you may be talking from a standpoint. You've seen what I did, but you don't know why I did it. Like I use the example, two people steal a piece of bread. One's a kleptomaniac and one family is hungry. God see the what. All you saw what they did, but you don't know why they did it. And I promise you, you'll have two different judgments because God see the heart. He's stealing because his family's hungry. He ain't have no way to get it. The other man is stealing because he loves to steal. You're going to have two different judgments. But all we see is two people did the exact same thing. That's why I say it's tough for us. We can't be judge and jury, you know, because we don't know why they're doing what we are seeing. But God does.
And we know that from a practical sense. Like when you go to court and you're trying to prove something, one of the things that people have to prove is a motive.
Yep. You get more time for motive or less time. If it's self-defense and you kill somebody because they was trying to kill your mom or your dad or attack you, you get less. And otherwise, you were trying to plot and you conspiracy to commit murder for hire, you're going to get a lot more time depending on the motive. So that's true.
Yeah. But, you know, when it comes to believers in church, we don't care about the motives. Like, all we care about is the salaciousness. And, you know, for me, that's a characteristic that we brought from the world. And mm-hmm. I think honestly, out of all the things that is hardest to shake, that might be one of the hardest things. And social media kind of feeds that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna call it a demon, but it feeds that part of our flesh that wants likes and wants people to acknowledge us. You know, us doing this show, you know, for as long as we have, and now, you know, switching platforms and going to YouTube, this last year and a half has been a journey for me because, honestly, like I'm pretty sure we can pick some topics and we can talk about some things that people are going to want to, you know, chime in and listen to. But a lot of those things require us to kind of, I'd say, what's the word?
Compromise.
Compromise, mm-hmm. You know, what we even do this for, you know, right. what I mean, or why yeah. we even do what we're doing.
Not happy.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want us to build. And so, yeah, we're building slowly but surely on this platform. But I think we've stayed true to, you know, the heart of why we even started doing this, which was, you know, building a platform, you know, for artists and people who have gifts in the kingdom so that they can share it with the world. Because ultimately, my biggest issue with all of this is the world is watching. And if somebody in the world is watching what the church is doing, can they say that we're doing anything different than what they're doing? Like, I mean, even the information that we're talking about here came from somebody in the world. It wasn't nobody in the church that started this. It was somebody, it was a worldly podcast that put this information out. They were talking about P. Diddy and you know, mixed bishop in there. And next thing we know, all the church is talking about it. So we even got that information from that. So, you know, there's the line that we try to draw on it is always about, oh, you know, I don't sin. I don't do this. I don't do these outward things. But these behaviors are the same things. It's the same thing. Like, we still like gossip. We still want to hear the latest. We still want to, you know, hear the thing. Like, the title of this show, you know, again, it got to look like gossip just for people to tune in to have this conversation. So, you know, if you tuned in and you thought, you know, that's what we was going to, you know, keep digging in, we had the latest information on it or here and there, you know, no. We wanted to get your attention to talk about how, as a church, we need to mature, how we need to get better at how we handle situations like this. Because we're losing people and we definitely not gaining people for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you with that, because we need to put more platforms that do inspirational stuff. You can look around your life and see the decadence of the world. You turn on the news, you need somewhere to tune in where something is positive to give people hope. Suicide rates is too high in our community at all levels and all ages and all ethnic backgrounds. It's not discriminating. Why are people killing themselves? They feel hopeless. So maybe they turn on this show or somebody tell them something and they get a little ray of hope. Like, oh, okay, it is some hope in the world. Jesus is alive. He is still saving the lost. He does want a relationship. He is doing things in people's lives. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just need a little bit of hope. It might not even be a lot. You just need a little something to keep going one more day. And it's enough stuff in the world. They can go find that anywhere. You can find that anywhere, I promise you. So somebody's got to hope.
It's everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah. This man told me the other day about his friend's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She killed herself on Christmas Day.
Man.
Her son got up to open up his presents. I'm sorry.
Right.
And she's hanging in the living room. And he's so young and innocent that he goes into the grandmother's room and says, "Hey, Grandma, can you come out here? Mama's stuck up there. She's not coming down."
Right. Jesus.
Ooh. So when I heard that, it took me in so many different ways, you know what I'm saying? Because I thought about, and we're talking about social media here, how people judge her and say, you know, why would you do that now on Christmas? Your son and your mama is going to think about how you killed yourself and you selfish and blah, blah, blah. But see, what happens is in the church, in the world, wherever, people don't think about my decision is based on the best option that I see. Your decision in a given situation is based on the best option that you see. So your decision is based on your best option. My decision is based on my best option. So if my decision is to kill myself, which I'm not advocating, that was at that point I felt my best option.
Right.
And so you can't condemn that. You know what I'm saying? That was, you don't know the whole story that went in. She could have gotten some devastating and damaging news and she felt like she can't recover from that. And she felt like that was her way out. She was like, I just can't take anymore. On top of the fact that I wasn't able to give my kid the kind of Christmas that he deserves, or on top of the fact that this is happening in my life or whatever. She felt like at that point, that was her best options. So you got to be careful about judging people decisions based on what you would have done or what you think you would have done in that situation, because you don't have any idea about the whole story. The other day I was driving and it had literally just popped into my head that this thought that if you know my whole story, you would embrace me as aggressively as you shunned me. Mm-hmm. If you knew my whole story, you would do that because you would understand why I am what I am, how I am, you know, in this particular time, as opposed to how I was before, whatever, you would understand so many of the things that come along with me because you know my whole story. But unless you know that, then that's probably why you shun me, because you don't understand, you know, why I am the way I am. But if you knew, you would know and you would do better. But they say, if you knew better, you'd do better.
You do better, huh? And I'll add a third option to that. You know, Dion, it's what God says about you, you know, and what options God gives us too, you know, and I think that's the difference for us as believers, and that we have to understand, like, to your point, and I'll use that your same scenario. You don't know, you know, not God, God's going to ever tell us to take our own lives, we don't know what God is leading a person to do, or, you know, I put a video up on TikTok. I think it was the end of last year. And it's the most viewed video that I've ever put up. And it's about Bishop and TD Jakes. Matter of fact, it's the picture that people are using a lot now to try to, you know, paint the picture that, you know, the TD Jakes was at all these parties and stuff. But at the time, I was just speaking on the judgment that TD Jakes was receiving because he was, you know, at a birthday party for, you know, P. Diddy, right? And, you know, in that video, I think I pointed out, you know, the fact that Jesus was at the table with tax collectors and people yes. that people deemed not people that we should, you know, be around or hang around or whatever. And we don't know what the conversation is like. I've actually heard P. Diddy you know, express that you know, TDJ, he looks at TD Jakes as a spiritual father or someone that he looks up spiritually. So we don't know what that relationship really, you know, is, other than what these two men have actually said. But again, you know, I bring this up because, you know, that's my most viewed video, right? The situation that's coming up right now is all about, again, the gossip of it. You know, as a church, we have to, you know, mature and get this lesson, right? We don't know the why behind what people do, right? We don't know their motives. And you know, I'm just trying to sum this up. You know, we don't know the motives. We don't even have all the facts. You know, right. So many people say, hey, you know, the Bible says that we can make righteous judgment. And I've read that scripture as well, but part of making righteous judgment is having all the information. See, God can make righteous judgment always because he knows the beginning, the present, and the end. He knows the motives. He knows what led to that situation. So, you know, we think it's easy to make that, because what we call righteous judgment is, you know, here are all the things that I was taught in church. Here are all the things that I read in my Bible, that if you don't align with this, you're going to hell, or, you know, you're not saved, whatever judgment or whatever thing you want to make with that. But like Lasagna brought up earlier, Jesus, he walked this earth. When the woman caught in adultery was brought to him, he said it, cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. Cast the first stone. He out of anybody in that crowd, anybody in this world that could pass a judgment, Jesus could have did it.
There you go. That's the truth. And even if you had a righteous judgment, you wouldn't do it online. How you think that's okay to pass judgment with being a human being with finite, you have a beginning or an end, and you have all the information, and then you do it online? That's even if you do the right thing the wrong way, that's not even right.
Right.
You have to have the motivation, because what you're doing, what you putting online for, you ain't talking to TD Jakes. You know what I'm saying? Right. You're not talking to him. You're just standing for the whole world. How's that going to help him? You just, like, yep, this is my righteous judgment, and I got this. Let's say you had pictures of anything. Let's say you was there. Putting it online, that's a motive. There is something else you're trying to gain because you didn't say it to him. It's never okay to expose stuff on a public platform to defame or discard secular people, worldly people, Christian people. That's not the place to do it. That's not what that should be used for, because it's painful, it hurts, and it destroys not just the person you're talking about. They have children, have grandchildren. You know, it's a way that they need to be handled. They are human beings too. They got nothing to do with it. You know,
it destroys the people that are watching you. It destroys the people that are seeing you. Like I can imagine how people in the world visualizes a church, right? A lot of them, you know, vocalize it. Like the church people are just so judgmental and this and this and that. And so they watch us judge each other. They watch us judge them. That's the only thing they focus on. So the good news of the gospel, that whatever issues that they're going through, whatever problems that they're having, whatever struggles that they're having, the answer is Jesus. Like, they're not even able to focus on that because they're too busy focusing on the fact that we're judging them or that we're judging each other. Right. And so, you know, I'll leave our audience with this question. What's your why? Mm-hmm. Whenever you're about to post something, why are you posting?
That's right.
Mm.
What is your why? Like, do you want the person that you're posting about to get better? Do you want people around them to get better? Do you want to get better? Like, what is the reason why you think posting this will be good? And, you know, if your why is because I need some clicks, you know, I get it. A lot of people make a living off of social media right now. So if your why is I need the money and you're a believer, then, I mean, I would just ask that you kind of check yourself with that and just, you know, understand that you could be holding back the growth of the kingdom, the very thing that you say you really stand for, or the very thing that you say you're down with. So,
That's it. All they have to do is remember, if it was me and everybody got something they don't want the whole world to see, what if that's something the whole world saw it that you don't want the whole world to see? How would you want the whole world to handle it? And everybody got something. I got stuff I want on the internet or out. It's you and that secret or anything in your life. It's you.
Jesus.
How would you handle you? And it's you. You remember that? You'll do better.
Would you want me to come to you in public or in private to talk about that infidelity or that?
I'll take private for 500. I'll take private for 500. I'll take private for 500, Alex.
Yep. So everybody got something. Just pretend it's you and respond the way you would respond if it was your business that you know in private that you wouldn't want.
But see, here's the thing, though. I get it, you know. Obviously, private is a lot better. But even if you expose it, you know, sometimes, and even in my own life, I'll tell you that being exposed helped me more than it hurt me. Let me say that. Being exposed helped me a lot more than it hurt me. And I believe that's why God chose in those moments to expose me, because he knew when there's nowhere else to run, when there's nothing else you could do, when it's out there and people know about it, you know, now how are you going to conduct yourself? Are you going to be better or are you going to be worse than you were before? And for me in my life, and I ain't speaking for nobody else, it helped me to be better. And so, you know, I would have preferred, obviously, in private, I would have preferred that, yes. But when he did expose me, like I said, it helped me tremendously.
Did an individual expose you or did the situation expose you?
Both. Because, you know, an individual exposed the situation in front of a lot of people at once. And it, like I said, like, with everybody knowing at once, there was nowhere else to run. I couldn't deny it or nothing like that or nothing like that, because it's out there. And so once that happened and now there are no more false pretenses that I could hide behind, I have to either own up to it and stand up and say, okay, it happened. I'm this, destined this, and, you know, let's move forward, or, you know, whatever the case may be. If it ain't going to be anymore, it ain't going to be anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. But I think what I was kind of leading up, because the Bible does say that anything can be brought, that it'll be brought to light, right? And so, you know, I think, you know, the private conversations, the things that you're dealing with when you're talking to God is to keep you from being put in a position to where you're exposed publicly or you know, hurt, because, you know, a lot of people can't handle that or are not in a position to handle that the way that you may have handled that situation. You know what I mean? And so, but I guess what I'm saying is that I trust that God will expose the situation and he will handle the healing of the situation better than me as a human or me as a person thinking that I got all the information or I know all that's right. Because even the person that brought it to you didn't know all the information. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, we bring a lot of stuff from a place of hurt, of our own trauma, our own, you know, our point of view is always going to be tainted by our own experiences in life. You know what I mean? So if a mature person will take in the fact that, you know, the reason why I'm responding or I'm saying the things that I'm saying, the way I'm saying it is because my life has painted this picture that I see life through. You know what I mean? Like all three of us can see something happen and have a different perspective on how that happened. And it's just based off of where we came from, what we experienced, what we've done. And that's the truth for every human being, but that's the limitation of us being human as well.
I
live in my life. I've never lived in Dion's life. I've never lived in Lasagna's life. And so my judgment of them, and here's the thing, because I've lived in my life and I know how much grace and mercy, and this is the other thing we didn't talk about, but I know how much grace and mercy God has given me.
Ooh, son.
I mean, it's really helped me understand the level of grace and mercy that we're supposed to, you know, be able to give to others. And, you know, there was a scripture that I wanted to read, but we're running out of time. We'll probably talk, you know, a little bit more about it later. But in Ephesians 4, and I know earlier one of you guys brought up, you know, looking in the mirror, right? And it talks about, you know, doing a sin and then walking away. No, I'm sorry. I think that's James 4 or no, James 1.
That's true.
But looking in the mirror and then walking away and then forgetting, you know, who you were, the image that you just saw, whatever. Like, I feel that every time I see someone operate in this spirit of gossip, like, I feel like if we really kept in mind who we were, what God is given us and the grace and the mercy that he's provided us in our own lives, we wouldn't. And again, if we had the character like God, we wouldn't want to put people through the things that we try to do so easily online. So I really appreciate you guys having this conversation. I didn't know exactly how it was going to go. I know it was I know at one point I did want to talk about it. I just, you know, I thought we had an interview tonight, but I think this went well. As always, you know, we want to hear your comments. This report, this live will be up, you know, for some days. We'll do some edits to it, and it'll be a part of the ongoing thing. But, you know, again, before you post anything online, before you speak to anybody about anything, you know, you're a prophetess, and, you know, I know people who God speaks to and shares a lot of things to them, and I've never seen those people, I mean, and I know for a fact they see what God is sharing with them, and they've never done the things that I see people who call themselves prophetess do online. Like, I honestly feel like true prophetess, people who really God speaks to about other people, they not the ones on YouTube. They not the ones on TikTok with the little shawl over their head, looking very solemn and whatever. Like, that's just my belief. Because again, the burden of knowing things that are happening with other people is not a light burden. It's not. And it's not something that you would easily cast and use for things such as what we're talking about. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm with you because I have family. And man, you get some of the people calling you friends. It's like, nah, I know your life. You don't need to worry about nothing nobody doing. And you need to go home and worry about that stuff you got going on in your life. I know you. So you don't need to worry about them. You ain't going to have to answer for nobody but your stuff. So don't worry about nobody else's stuff. Then they be like, yeah, you right. You right. Yeah, it's like, nah, I know you. Now I know your, please. You don't need to come to me asking about nobody else's stuff. When I'm looking at your life, they be like, yeah, you right. You right. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, you right. Okay. You can get them straight real quick. Now I know you of all people. You should have grace and mercy.
All right. Well, you know, next week, I hope you guys have enjoyed Tuesday live edition. You know, what you can expect for the rest of this year is that we're planning on doing live shows every Tuesday, live interviews. So we got a list of interviews, people that we're going to be talking to over the next, you know, couple of weeks. If you want to get on that list, you got a gift, you got a talent, you got a testimony that is going to help inspire, uplift, help people on their journey to find purpose. Definitely inbox us, get in touch with us. Always, you know, subscribe, share, you know, comment, and you know, let's continue to grow this together, grow this platform, and more importantly, let's mature as a body of Christ. So, love you guys. Really, really good show. We'll catch y'all next week.
All right. Little Talk Show. Well,